Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. We are looking at Romans chapter 7 this week. And what does the New Testament tell us about the Old Testament law? What is it that Paul writes here about the Christian's relationship to the commandments found in the Old Testament? Well, I believe that Jesus affirmed that the commandments are important. Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law." And some people will take that phrase and they'll look at Paul and they'll say, okay, what Jesus really meant was, I'm going to come and fulfill the law for you so you don't have to. Don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. No, rather I've come to fulfill them. And so the interpretation will be something like, you see, Paul tells us that the law is done away with, that the law is dead, that we're no longer under the law. So what Jesus meant was that in his life, he would perfectly follow the law for us. He would fulfill it in his life. And therefore, we no longer need to worry about it because Jesus already did it for us. That is not what Jesus said. If you look at the full context of what Jesus was saying, he preached a whole sermon this verse, I have not come to abolish the law. This is in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount, where he again and again quotes from the Old Testament law, tells us how to apply it to our life, calls on all of his disciples to put into practice these teachings, his authoritative understanding and interpretation of the Old Testament commands. And he says, whoever breaks and teaches others to break one of the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus does everything he can to say that we are, as followers of Jesus, to pay attention to even the least of the commands and seek to apply them to our life in the appropriate way. I know this often brings up lots of questions. Well, are you saying we need to bring sacrifices to the temple? Well, no, there is no temple. So, I mean, there are all kinds of ways we could look at some of the specific commands and show that this doesn't mean that it's possible or even ever intended for everyone to follow every law. But the law is not made obsolete. The law is not done away with. The law is still in place. And Paul writes in Romans 7:4, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." And so people often read this verse, "You also died to the law," and say, "Oh, the law is done away with." Paul said in Romans 6:14, "We're no longer under the law, but under grace." So Paul seems to be saying that we don't have, as Christians, any reason to study, meditate on, and follow the law, meaning the commands in the Old Testament. And that is not what Paul is saying at all. So let's go back and look at his illustration, and I'll explain what I think is going on here. I think Paul is, when he says we've died to the law, he's not talking about the law itself dying, the law of Scripture, the commandments dying. He's talking about the law of sin and death, the principle that because I have sin in me, the law causes condemnation and judgment and causes me to spiritually die. And that whole principle of my sin corrupting the law in how it applies to my life, that dies, that my negative relationship to the law dies, that the power that sin has over me so that I can't follow God's law, that's what dies, not God's law, but this principle, this law that I am trapped to sin. So I think what Paul's actually affirming here is that through Christ, we now are free to follow the law, whereas before, we never could follow the law. In fact, he's going to clearly state that in Romans chapter 8 when we get there. So let me go back to this illustration that Paul opens in Romans 7 with. He says, "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives?" So remember yesterday we saw this illustration. Paul is talking about being free from the law. And the question is, which law? And Paul uses as an illustration of being free from the law that a wife, when she's married to a husband, she is bound by the law, do not commit adultery. But once her husband dies, she is released from that law, meaning she's free to marry another man without committing adultery. Why? Because the law itself, do not commit adultery, says do not commit adultery as long as you both shall live. So once your husband dies, once a spouse dies, now you can marry another without breaking that law. So I would want to observe here at this part that even in this illustration, the law itself is not done away with. The command, do not commit adultery, is in place while the woman is married to her husband. And the command, do not commit adultery, is in place when the woman's husband dies and she is no longer married to her husband. We wouldn't say that just because your spouse dies, now the command, do not commit adultery, is done away with. No, we would never say that. We would just say that the surviving spouse is no longer bound to that law. It no longer applies to her because she no longer is married and therefore under that law. So Paul, even in this illustration, is not in any way suggesting that the law itself dies. Do not commit adultery is there before and after in this illustration. All the commands of the Bible are there in the Old Testament. They're still in place in the New Testament. Paul never suggests that they have been done away with. But look at his summary in verse 4. He says, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead." Notice the transition. You are now no longer bound to the law over here. Now you're bound to Jesus. Just as the woman is no longer bound to her husband, now she's free to marry another. So when we believe in Christ, we're no longer bound to this old law. Now we're bound to Jesus. Now, the question is, what is the old law? Is Paul referring to the commandments here? No. He has made it very clear throughout Romans 6, and he will repeat in Romans chapter 8, that he is not talking about the law of God given at Mount Sinai or given in the Old Testament and then repeated throughout the New Testament. He is talking about the law of sin and death, the principle that we, because of our sin, are not capable of following God's law. So notice he talks about this in Romans 6, verse 16. He says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness?" So Paul's saying, hey, if you continue to follow sin and just do whatever sin tells you to do, you're actually a slave to sin. But when you become a Christian, you're actually now a slave to righteousness. You're no longer a slave to sin. He says in verse 17, "Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." So throughout Romans chapter 6, he's talking about going from being a slave to sin to being a slave of righteousness, from being a slave of sin and death to being a slave of God, which is a good thing, which to be a slave of God means you're no longer a slave to sin and the cruelty and the suffering and misery and the lostness that it brings and the death that it brings. Now you're free to have a relationship with the living God. And this is exactly what he's talking about when he's talking about being free from the law. He's talking about the law of sin and death. He's going to describe that in more detail even later on in Romans chapter 7. He says most clearly in Romans 6:22, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Holiness means being able to apply God's commands in your life and find the blessings that they bring. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.